Appreciate it very much. Let me invite your attention this morning, if I could. Take your Bible to two passages of Scripture in the New Testament, one in Matthew chapter 13, and then also in Luke chapter 22. Matthew chapter 13, Luke chapter 22. While you're turning, I would ask you to pray for me, if you will. Been having problems with my back, and I've got a pinched nerve back there that it's only pinched at certain times, and it gets pinched when I happen to move the wrong way. I've had to give up ballroom dancing, which I really miss. No, I'm just kidding about that. But I do want you to pray for me, if you would, and that thing will get back in where it belongs and stay put. So that would be a blessing. Man, Wednesday night I was hurting bad when I was trying to preach. And this morning I have no excuse, all right? I feel pretty good, but I do appreciate you praying for me. Matthew chapter 13, if you will, would you look down in verse 10? The Bible said, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing me not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now I want you to remember that, especially there in verse 15, where the Bible says they should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Then, if you will, in Matthew chapter 22, just two verses here, in verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." In these two passages of Scripture, our Lord spoke of his desire for folks to be converted. And many times you hear people talk about, well, so-and-so got converted, all right? Well, in Matthew, the Lord was talking about folks that had never been born again. And he said those folks need to be converted. But in Luke, he was speaking to Peter. Peter was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart Peter had been born again, but the Lord said to him, "When thou art converted." When thou art converted. That word convert comes from words that mean to turn around or transform. And listen, that's exactly what the Lord wishes for everyone on the face of this earth. The Lord wants to deal with them. He wants them to turn around because they're heading the wrong direction. All right? They're going the wrong direction. They need to be transformed for a better purpose in life. That is what's needed. But what happens too often is that folks don't get a complete conversion. Now, that's what I want to speak to you about this morning, is a complete conversion. But people only get partially converted. A complete conversion is a total transformation, all right? In the paper used to, you would hear people or you would see advertised vans that were full conversion vans. Full conversion vans. That means they had had a makeover from top to bottom, from just a cargo van or from just a passenger van to really a luxurious camper van. I mean, I've seen those things with everything that you can imagine, everything including the kitchen sink, all right? Boy, they would put beds in them, had microwave ovens, they had a stereo, had a TV and a DVD player, those kind of things. Had pile carpeting, and we could just go on and on and on. I mean, They were really, really plush. They were full conversions. They had been completely converted over from just a regular run-of-the-mill van to a full conversion, luxurious camper van. Now, the Lord doesn't want you to be a camper van, okay? So just relax. He doesn't want you to be a camper van. But he is in the business of completely transforming lives. I mean a total transformation. You said, "Preacher, what do you mean? I'm a little confused." Well, stay with me. Number one, it means you'll be changed internally. You'll be changed internally. That internal change comes at salvation. It comes when a soul is born again. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of God to the folks at Ephesus, he said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Hey, they had been changed on the inside, all right? What a marvelous change takes place when a person gets born again. It's an amazing thing. Remember that old Sunday school chorus? Maybe you sang it. I grew up as a kid singing, "Man, my heart was black with sin until the Savior came in, and his precious blood, I'm told, has washed me white as snow." What a blessing. What a blessing. That's the inward. You're changed internally when you get saved. You say, "Well, how do you know it's internal change?" Well, take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, we're going to look at a lot of scripture, so be willing to flip real quick, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will. And I want you to look down in verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, down in verse 6. The Bible says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Hey, that's that internal, inward change. When the Lord saves you, he operates on the inward man. Now, I've said this a lot of times. The inward man, the inward person, is the real you. It's the real you. What we see of each other is just our body. It's just our body. It is not, hey, what you see of me is not the real me. The real me is 6'6". I've just been crushed down into a smaller body, all right? And that's the reason for the bulges, okay? When you take something that big and shove it down, it has to bulge, okay? Well, that's what. So what the real me, you don't really see, all right? You don't really see me. The real me is very handsome, got a full head of hair. No, not really. Hey, but the real me is on the inside, okay? It's on the inside. And that's what gets changed when you get saved, all right? You can't see the work that was done when the soul of man is transformed. You can't see it because it's done on the inside. But the fact that you can't see it doesn't lessen the impact. It doesn't lessen the impact one bit in the world. Romans chapter 7, look if you would there. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul gives just a little bit of the testimony to that change that occurred in him. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 22, he said this, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." After the inward man. It is that inward man that's been changed. That inward man. Over in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 24, in verse 27, there's a scripture there that talks about a king that changed a man's name. The king of Babylon changed another man's name, changed his name to Zedekiah, set him up as the king in the land of Israel. He changed his name. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. When I was 9 years old, the king changed my name too. He changed my name. He said, "What?" Well, he changed it from a child of the devil to a child of the king. And man, I got converted. It was on the inside, all right? I went to school the next day. I was saved on a Sunday night. Went to school the next day, Monday morning. And all those people at school, all the people on the school bus, I look the same. All the people in my third grade classroom, I still look like the same old guy. But hey, the change had happened on the inside. The change had taken place. The Lord had changed me. He did a work on the inside. And I went from being a child of the devil to a child of the King. My destination was changed from hell to heaven. What a blessing. Has that occurred to you? Has that occurred in your life? Have you been changed internally? Well, listen, that's not the complete thing, all right? That's not where it ends. Because you not only need to be changed internally, but there needs to be an external change too. You said, how do you figure that? Well, when a man is changed internally, it ought to show up externally. When you get changed internally, it ought to show up on the outside. There should be a difference, all right? Your behavior should change. Really and truly, everything about your life ought to change. The Bible gives us a picture of that. And the Bible admonition is in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your spirit. All right? Hey, we're to be transformed. What? The outside. The outside. There's to be a difference about us, all right? We've been changed internally. That's a good thing. But it doesn't end there. Now he's working on this outward part of us, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hey, he's working on us. He's working on us, changing us, all right? And as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we begin to follow him, he will produce a change in our life. God did not change you on the inside just so you could sit there and remain that same old person until you die and then you go to heaven. But God changed you on the inside, and then he begins to work on you from the inside to change you externally. To change that outward man, all right? That outward man needs work. Now, I'm not talking about growing extra hair. I'm not talking about changing the color of your hair, changing your hairstyle. Hey, I'm talking about changing what you are and what you do. That fellow that's been worked on, now on the inside, it begins to show up on the outside. It is a change that folks might see. And it is a testimony to the goodness of God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Have your Bible open there, chapter 3. Look in chapter 4. Look at what verse 8 says. We are troubled on every side, all right? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, notice, in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In the flesh. Not the spirit, but in our flesh. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. The Bible says God changes us on the inside when we get saved. He takes that soul and he's renewed and we're given a new nature. And that new nature on the inside will work itself out if we'll let it, all right? And the Lord begins to work on us so that it might be made manifest in our flesh that we are what we claim to be, which is a child of God. And we're to live a different life. Don't live the same old life that I used to live. I'll be honest with you. I got saved 9 years old. I stopped drinking, quit being out all night drinking. I gave up cigarettes, quit smoking them, got off drugs. I said, preacher, you didn't do those things at 9 years old. No, I didn't. But I'm going to tell you this, God changed me. God changed me. No, I wasn't out drinking and carousing. I wasn't doing that kind of stuff. Wasn't a druggie, all right? I wasn't cursing and all of that kind of stuff because I had a mom and a daddy that would beat the fire out of me if I had of. And I'm glad I did. But wait a minute. The Lord began to work in me. He began to work in me, and he changed that outward person. He began to change. You know what? He's been working on me now for a long time. Been working on me for a long time. Producing a change because he wants me to be like him. And he wants you to be like him. He wants to change your life. You're not to look the same way you looked. You're not to act the same way you acted. You're not to dress the same way you acted. Everything about you ought to be affected by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been saved, if you've been changed internally, then the change externally ought to still be going on. It ought to be producing something in your life. And if it's not, then wait a minute, something's wrong. Something's wrong somewhere, all right? Man, that the Lord, the world's people might see a changed life in God's people. That we might be a different kind of people. Listen, I think we're to have a different demeanor. Everything about us. We ought to be different at Walmart. We ought to be different kind of people. Those folks there at Walmart, when they talk to Christians, they ought to realize, man, this person's a little different. There's something here different. They ought to be able to see it. They ought to see it when you walk up. They ought to just see that difference in you, all right? It ought to show up on your face. It ought to show up in your speech. The way you talk, it ought to be there. Isn't it a wonderful thing? How many of you ever worked a cashier? You ever worked a cashier, all right? Okay, how many of you ever been mistreated by customers as a cashier? Don't you think they're impressed when somebody comes up that's not grumpy? Listen, I'm be honest with you. I think Christianity ought to be practical. It ought to be practical. Don't you think it'll impress people if you come up? You're standing in the line. You've been in there a long time. And you're like me. Are you like me? I always pick the wrong line. I pick the wrong line every time. I was at Sam's yesterday. I had five things I was buying. I forgot. Had five things I was getting. Here I've got this little, basket, five things in it. And I'm seeing these lines. And man, these people here, they've got two baskets just piled up like this. I'm thinking, I'm not getting in that line. So I found the line down there. Man, it was short and just a few things. I got in that line. And I waited. Because that clown up there, I don't know what was going on. They were arguing back and forth, and he was waving at somebody over across the store, and I thought, dear Lord, we're not waiting on his wife to show up now with something else, are we? He's not holding up everybody. And I don't know how y'all are, but man, the temperature begins to rise in me at times like that. How about you? And I'm standing there going, this is ridiculous. I'm thinking that the whole time. But wait a minute. Can I tell you this? It's not the cashier's fault. Cashier didn't cause that problem. Well, the cashier was slow. Maybe they're having a bad day. You ever had a bad day? Don't you think it's appreciated when they, you come up there and they say, maybe because they've been prompted to say, how you doing? And they expect to say, oh, I'm tired of waiting in your line. And isn't it good to just hear somebody say, well, I'll be honest, I go in there and I say, man, I'm having a time. I've told them many times, what could be better than shopping at Sam's? Or what could be better than being at Walmart on a Saturday with the rest of the world? What could be better, Hey, it's okay. It's okay for you to be happy when the world's sad. It's okay for you to be optimistic when the world's pessimistic. It's okay for you to be calm when everybody else is in a frenzy. That's okay. And by the way, it's right. It's right for us to display something in our life. I've got something different. You see, the Lord is working on us. Lord's working on us. He ought to be working in your life. Why? He's changing us externally. He changed. Listen, I believe God, it'll change the way you dress. This world dresses in such a sexual, sensual manner, it is absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. Man, cover it up, would you? Cover it up. Conceal it. Hide it. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking, all right? But God help us to realize, Hey, we're in this world, we're a child of God. We're a child of God. We represent Him. I want to reflect the change. I want to make Him manifest. You hear me? The world has no answer, no answer for a life that's been changed by the work, the will, and the Word of God. The world has no answer for that. They don't know. I mean, your friends that knew you before, they would have to say, what happened to you? Man, what's going on? The world has no answer for that. None. You and I ought to reflect that. Hey, talking about a complete conversion, it begins with an inward conversion, but we have to be changed externally too. But wait a minute, I want you to know this. You can be changed internally. You can be changed externally. And right now, God ought to be changing you externally. But I'll tell you, one of these days, He's going to change us eternally. What a blessing to know. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, would you? And we're talking about an eternal change. An eternal change. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, wait a minute. That's all the people that are saved. It's not all in general. It's everybody that's been born again. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Hey, that change is promised, and it's coming at the rapture. All right? It's coming at the rapture. We're going to be made fit for paradise, all right, the paradise of God known as heaven. You see, we have a problem. The Bible tells us flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what we live in. We live in a body of flesh and blood. But that can't inherit. So the Lord has to change us. And He's going to do that one of these days. And this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. What a change. We're going to be changed for eternity. Changed for eternity. You talking about not being the same? There won't be anything the same, all right? There will not be anything the same, okay? What a change that'll be, that we might be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Now, I'm praying, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. I want that to take place before I have to have this old carcass carted out and buried at Mount Olivet Cemetery. Now, I've already got the land there, okay? But I'd just as soon not use it. I'd just as soon let somebody else take advantage of that. Don't really want to use that. I want to be taken out of here. But if that day doesn't come, that rapture doesn't come, one of these days they will haul what's left of me, you know, here. Now, remind you, it won't be me. It'll just be this external body. That's what's going to be taken out to the cemetery. And maybe there'll be somebody that'll show up and have a few good words to say over me. And they'll dig a hole and put me in that hole, this body in the hole. Now, I won't be there. I won't be there. I go out and visit sometimes the grave of my mom and dad. I, when I do, always go by and visit the grave of Dennis Lockhart. Always stop by his place there. His body's buried. But I don't stand there and say, now, Dad, can you hear me? Dad's not there. Mom's not there. Dennis is not there. Hey, they moved. But I tell you what, one of these days, the Bible said that body's going to come forth. It's going to be changed. That's when it says this mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. We're going to be changed eternally, eternally. But now hear me, and I'm done, okay? You won't be changed internally, eternally, unless you've been changed internally. You will not be changed eternally unless you've been changed internally. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? I want to be sure you understand. Unless you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not be changed eternally. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Good. Good for you. But mom and dad are Christians. That's wonderful. Good for mom and dad. But we're not talking about mom and dad. We're talking about you. We're talking about you. Has that time ever come where you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you even started the conversion process? Have you been converted internally? Has the Lord done that work in your life that only He can do? You can't do it. I can't do it. Nobody can do it for you. The Lord God Himself has to do that for you. And that comes when you come to Him by faith and trust Him as your personal Savior. I mentioned to you a while ago that happened for me when I was 9 years old. First Baptist Church of Tice, Florida. Sunday night. I'd been under conviction for weeks. Couldn't sleep. God dealing with me about my soul. And that Sunday night I said, man, that's enough of this. I'm getting saved. And had to argue with the devil a little bit, but we got that over with. And I trusted Christ that night. Hey, listen, He changed me internally. You say, well, I still don't like what you are, preacher. He's still working on me, so give me time, all right? He's still working on this external. One of these days He's going to change me eternally. But have you had that internal conversion? Has He done that work in you? Has He changed your name? Has He done that for you? Do you belong to Him today? Listen, if you've never done that, you need to trust Christ today. You need to trust Christ. I can't tell you there's not a more important thing you can do than do that. If you're sitting here and you don't know for sure if you were to die, you'd go to heaven, would you come to the Lord today? Would you come to Him today? In just a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation. I'm going to step down. I'm going to stand right down there. Listen, if you've never trusted Christ, would you just have the courage to step out and walk down that aisle, meet me here, and say, preacher, I need to trust Christ today. If you'll just come, we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you what you need to do. You say, man, I'd be embarrassed. Why? Why? Well, all these people here. So? Listen, everybody in here that knows Christ as their Savior, they're praying and wanting you to come. Every one of them. They want you to get saved. They want you to get saved. They're not going to think, well, what in the world's wrong with them? No. They're going to rejoice with you. Why not just come? Why put it off? What are you waiting on? Why not trust Him today? Just get saved today. The Bible said today's the day of salvation. He'd save you this morning if you'd come. You'll just come to Him. If you'll come, we'll have somebody show you the scriptures in the Bible. We want you to thoroughly understand what's going on. You're not going to be saved because I say you're saved. That doesn't work. But we want you to know what's going on. Would you do it this morning? Would you do it? Hey, Christian, could I speak to you a minute? You've been saved. But did it ever occur to you maybe what you are is keeping somebody that's never been saved from getting saved? Because they see what you are externally, and they know a little bit about you, and they think, well, if that's all there is, there's no reason for me. See, you've not let the Lord change you enough externally, and you prevent somebody else from getting saved. Because they look at your life and say, well, they're not perfect. They do so much wrong, and they're... Hey, maybe God's speaking to you this morning and you need to come. You don't need to come talk to me, but you need to kneel at these steps or one of these front pews and you need to do business with God. You need to come and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Lord, I'm going to let you work in my life. I'm ready. Hey, I'm ready to change the way I talk. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to change those actions that are wicked. I'm ready to change those activities that are wrong. I'm ready to do that. Hey, God's dealing with you. Would you do that? Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. I'm looking for that eternal change. But right now, it's good to let God work on you externally as He works from the inside. What do you need this morning? What do you need to have that complete conversion? What's missing? What's missing? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, I ask you today, I'm pleading with you. If you've never trusted Christ, would you come this morning? Would you just please come this morning? The Lord wants to save you. He wants to save your soul, and He will if you'd come to Him. You'd just come. Christian, you're here, but your life's not what it ought to be, and you know it. Why don't you come? Make some things right with the Lord. He's dealing with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we call upon you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you've dealt with hearts. There's some folks here today that need to get saved. There's some folks here need to be born again. Lord, you died for them. The invitation is open. You're inviting them to come. Lord, I pray today they'd come and they'd trust you. Give them the courage to step out and walk down this aisle, to meet me right here at the front. Lord, help them to do that. Lord, deal with Christians. They've been changed internally, but they've resisted what you want to do externally. Would you break their will today? Would you help them to come? Decide, I'm going to make things right the way it ought to be. Lord, deal with us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please, this morning? Turn in your songbook to page 403. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Would you come? Listen, if you'd come there, you say, I don't want to come by myself. You look around, somebody will come with you. They'd be glad to do it. Would you come today? God's dealing with you. You come while we sing this verse. Come on. Come on.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While all others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While all others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition.
Pass me by.
Amen. I hope you did today what the Lord wanted you to do. Amen. Hey, it's not too late for you to get saved. It is not too late. There's still time. Would you be seated just for a moment? These folks came down from Fairhaven and Chesterton, Indiana. They do not ask for anything. They do not ask for a love offering. But I'll be honest with you. You know, folks come, I think we'll try to help them out. I've met Brother Wright. I like him. I've met these young ladies. I've got their names down. I can put the right name with the right person most of the time. Just to be honest with you, I don't want them to stay here, okay? We need to get them back home, all right? We just need to get them back home. I don't know if any of you recognize Miss Dameron over here with her name. This is Brother Eric Dameron that used to work on for us. This is his niece, all right? But I want you to know, it's not her fault that he's the way he is, all right? So don't blame her. Don't blame her. But I think we'd like to take a love offering. So if I could get a couple of ushers to come, and if you'll give, if you make out a check, make it out to the church. We still take cash, all right? So we'll do that. I just want to be a blessing. We'll try to buy them a little gas or something, and just to be a blessing to them. I found out a long time ago it's more blessed to give than to receive, all right? So I just want you to have that blessing. All right, is everybody ready to give? All right, time to pray, time to give. It's time to give. Pass the offering plate. It's good to have you here this morning. I hope you enjoyed the service. I hope you enjoyed the music. And be sure you let these folks know if you did. I'm going to let whoever of y'all needs to go back and be at the table. Because you got to watch our people. They'll steal stuff real bad. Got to watch them close. If you want to, y'all go back that way. But you make sure you meet these people and get acquainted with them. And, you know, like I say, if you can, pick up some good music. It'd be a blessing to you. All right? It'd be a blessing. You need it. All right, let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Amen. So glad that you're here. Hope you'll come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Amen. Say, what's happening tonight? You never can tell. You got to show up to find out, all right? No telling what will take place, all right? All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Oftedal, would you dismiss us?